Thankful today to have a testimony of being a child of the King, not because I've deserved it, not because I've earned it, but because Jesus paid the price for me, and he came by my way, and he knocked at my heart's door, and he invited me to be part of his family. And I am sure thankful for that today. I'd like to write title on the board. I've written on the board, Alive and Ready. We've been spending quite a bit of time on that subject, kind of a teaching series. And then as part of being alive and ready, this morning I've written Grow Relationship with Jesus. And this morning, if you were in Sunday school, in a lot of ways, Brother Dion preached this message in some ways. And so I'll follow in behind him. What a privilege we have today to have the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship where we can be alive spiritually. And when the Lord comes back and He calls our name, that we can be ready to meet Him. And I don't have to go through life feeling this constant pressure that I have to earn my way into heaven by my own righteousness, because I'm not able to do that. But because of Jesus, because of the gift of salvation, I can have hope and I can have assurance. And I can know that when Jesus comes back, and at a time most likely unexpected, that I can open the door and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a privilege. And on the other hand, how sad and how unnecessary if we neglect the opportunity and the privilege that we have to know Jesus as our friend and personal Savior, and go our own path and go our own way, so that when that time comes where we meet Him, we're not ready to go. We don't have any oil. And beyond that, how sad to go through life without Jesus. The Lord wants to go through life with us. This isn't just about when He comes back for us and eternity on the other side. It's true that life is but a vapor that appears for just a little time and then it goes away, and then there's eternity. But the Lord wants to walk with us now. He wants to be our friend and our Savior, and He wants us to be able to share the hope of eternal life with all of those that we come in contact with. And how sad when we miss that opportunity. Being ready to meet Jesus is going to mean everything. Watched it again this week. A life that has been here for a lot of years, one would say. But when you get down to the end, what's it matter if you're not ready to go? I want to be ready. Brother Wesley was ready. I want to be ready. I want to finish the course with victory and with Jesus. I'm impressed to keep saying these things as well as remind us of the words of the Lord, where He said that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, because it's important. Yes, Jesus paid the ransom. He paid the price that we were not able to pay. The Lord continues to do the heavy lifting. Those places where I'm not able to lift and to carry, The Lord comes and he does that for us. But we have to be willing to figuratively leave our nets behind. And we have to be willing to come and follow Jesus and let Him be our guide. With whatever reason, whatever change that means for me in life, wherever it takes me in life, I have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, You are God, You are the Creator, I'm the created, Lord, take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee. That is going to be more important than anything else. And so that's our part. Our part is to come, and our part is to keep coming. Brother Shane brought out this morning, God is not a vending machine. It is not something just to pass by or just to stop off and say, well, that looks good. I think I want some of that. And then on we go. When we pay a little bit and get what we want and go. It is, Lord, help me to live my life so that I come to You and that I continue to come throughout the course of the rest of my life. And if we'll do that, folks, if you'll do that, if you will not be deceived by a teaching that is come and be saved and then go live however you want to live. But if you'll come and you'll allow Jesus to come in your life and you'll follow Him wherever He leads. There's a song that we sing that sums it up really well, and it says, there is peace and joy in the Lord today, more than all in this world of sin. My testimony today is that I believe that we have the best that life has to offer. I do not believe that the Lord is saying, well, you know, Rod, if you want to make it to heaven, you're going to have to take your stripes and you're going to have to eat that which is unpleasant and you're going to have second best. I'm going to tell you something. People that are not following Jesus Christ have mountains too. They have the consequence of sin in this life. They have troubles too. If I'm going to go through the fire and I'm going to go through the water, I want to go with Jesus, don't you? I want to do it with Jesus. Sometimes people can think, well, if I could just live how I want to live, then, well, at least I could really enjoy life. Let me tell you something. I've lived long enough now. Some of you here that are still older than I am, but I've lived long enough. And I've watched and I've seen people that did it their way. They want to do it their way. They live their way. And it's not pretty. It doesn't end well. It doesn't go well. We have the best that life has to offer when we take Jesus with us. But we have a part. We have a responsibility in all of this, and we have been considering together over the last, I don't know, several Sundays now, some key elements, some responsibilities that we have so that we can be alive. Spiritually alive. I'm not interested this morning in just a testimony of salvation. That's just words. That's just empty. I'm interested this morning in living a life where I can experience life. I want to be alive spiritually. When I come into the house of the Lord, I want to have something within me that comes into the house of the Lord, and there is praise that comes out for a reason. That comes out in different ways with different people. But we have something, folks, to live life where life can exist. And so many people live with no life. I'm not interested in living and having no life. I'm interested in having life, being alive, and being alive when Jesus Christ comes back and He calls me so that I can be ready. And some of the elements that we've talked about, and maybe I'll abbreviate it this morning on the board because I've been writing it down. But the first thing that the Lord wants us to do, He wants us to believe into Him. Not just believe that He's God, Not just to believe that there's one God, not just to believe that Jesus is God's Son, but that we would believe into Him to the point that we take on who He is. Believe into Jesus. And then He wants us to repent of our sins. Scripture. We've had messages on this. We won't go into all of the Scriptures. But it's important that we repent of our sins. And repent doesn't just mean regret, contrition, but it involves that. But it also, repentance means a turning away from. Repentance means that I have a godly sorrow where I bring forth fruit, meat, or consistent with repentance. It's Bible. And there's also something so key that is our message this morning. And that is that we grow a relationship with Jesus. And fourth, we won't get to this today, but that there is nothing between our soul and the Savior. This encapsulates these others, that we live our life so that we have nothing between the soul and the Savior, so that we can stay alive and be ready. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's one thing to say that we have a relationship, but what kind of relationship do we have? What does it mean when we say we have a relationship? And I'm speaking of a strong, positive relationship. I'm not talking about a bad relationship or a poor relationship. A good relationship, what does that involve? It involves you have a connection. There's love involved. There's a relationship that has to do with maintaining this ongoing communion. There's something there that binds you. There's an intimacy. It's personal. Did you know the Lord wants you to have a personal relationship with Him and not a third-party relationship? Do you know what a third-party relationship is? Have you ever known somebody because you know somebody that knows them? And you hear about them so much, you start feeling like you know them. We've met people like that. You hear about them over and over and over, and then you meet them, and they've never seen you before, but you almost feel like you know them. That's okay. But did you know that God, that Jesus doesn't want our relationship to be based on just things we hear about Him? The Lord doesn't want your relationship to just be based on other people that know Him. Jesus wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him on a personal level. He wants the relationship to be present and alive and ongoing. I'll just make a guess here this morning. It wouldn't have worked very well for me if when I married my wife, if we got the papers all signed and I saw where now her last name is my last name, and I said, "Great, we now share the same name. I'll see you at Easter." You think that'd work very well? I don't think it'd work very well. It wouldn't work very well if I say, "Well, it's really great. We're married now. We share the same name. I'm now connected to you. I'll see you when I need something." Does that work? That isn't going to work. It isn't going to work if I say, "You know what? Why don't you go the way you want to go, and I'll go the way that I want to go, and maybe one of these days we'll catch up." That is not a union relationship. That's not a relationship where there's a union, where two become one. And where one goes, the other goes. And when there's trouble, it hurts. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is not looking for our relationship with Him to be based on a religion only. A union relationship does not equate to form and law adherence only. There's a place for it. Doesn't mean that there's not a place for doing what we're supposed to do. It doesn't mean that there's not a place to have good practices and routines and behaviors, and it might be presented as a form. I want to have practices in my life that protect me. But a union relationship is not that only. With Jesus. A relationship with Jesus that is growing and alive isn't just being associated with a certain group of people. I might have a relationship with a certain group of people. Jesus Christ is looking for us to grow our own personal relationship with Him. And if all I have is a relationship with other people that profess to know Jesus and yea, may indeed know Jesus Christ, that doesn't help me with my relationship with Jesus Christ. A union relationship with Jesus Christ is not founded upon being accepted by everyone else that professes the name of Jesus Christ. You all with me this morning? The Lord wants us to have our own relationship that is alive and that isn't stagnant and that grows. It's personal. Stronger connection. Stronger life. More faith. More trust. More learning. Not the same. Not going backwards. But growth. That's what He wants for us. Because if we don't have that, if what we have, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. If we don't have our own relationship with Jesus Christ that we invest in, and all we have is a form, and all we have is acceptance of others, we are going to find ourselves empty. We are going to find ourselves spiritually unfulfilled. We're going to find ourselves gravitating towards those things that empty us of life and empty us of our oil, because Jesus is life. He's life. He's light. He's truth. And if I don't have Jesus, then that means I'm going to run out, if I ever had it before, I'm going to run out of light and life and truth. And I'm so thankful today that we serve a Savior that seeks to find and to save and to preserve life, and He loves us, and He wants us to be ready. He's not looking to cast us away. In the third chapter of Revelations, we read in the 20th verse, where it said, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. I stand at your door. I stand at your heart's door, personally. and I knock, and I'm hoping you'll hear me, and I'm hoping that you'll quiet things down enough in your life and set aside whatever needs to be set aside and to give quiet space and time so that you hear when I knock at your door. And it says, behold, I stand and I knock, and if any person, wherever you are, if you'll open the door and you'll let me come in, it says, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. And the Scripture teaches us that if we are to overcome, we're going to have to believe into His way. We're going to have to take and adopt Jesus Christ's way into our lives. We're going to have to repent of what we've done wrong. There's going to have to be a turning away from that way of life so that we follow Jesus. And it isn't enough to try to just figure out all of the list of all of the things that we have to do as a part of the turning away. And then if we can somehow gasp our way through this and feel like we're there until we realize we missed some other pieces over here. And that's what we're trying to live and stay alive on. You're going to find emptiness in your life. You've got to have a relationship for yourself where you are connected to life itself. That's where life is in this connection with Jesus. I don't read here where it says that once he knocks and we open the door and he comes in, look, he's offering to do life together, not to do it separate. And I don't read here where it then says that he leaves or we leave and we strike out on our own to do it our way and still have life. We do life together. We're invested in it. It's more important than anything else in life that we see Jesus, that we know Jesus, that we live with Jesus. And when we do that, that is when we find forgiveness and mercy and increased understanding. And we hear a voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. In the 14th chapter of John, in the 26th verse, Jesus told his disciples, he said, but the Comforter, isn't that sweet? He didn't say, the evictor. He didn't say the condemner. I didn't read where it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens, I am here to evict. I'm here to condemn. He wants to come in and sup with us and help us and give us life. And so Jesus was comforting his disciples, and he said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Do you see the personal nature of this? He'll teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've said unto who? Others? No, it says unto you. Peace I leave with who? You. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Without the Holy Spirit, folks, we are not going to be able to go through life and resist temptation as we should. We're not going to be able to go through tribulation and have peace in our hearts. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. You're going to have some trouble in life. In the 16th chapter of John, the last verse of that chapter. But he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Well, where does that cheer come from if Jesus has overcome the world, but he's way over here and I'm way over there and our relationship is built on Jesus being over here and I'm going my... No, it's when we have a union relationship. We become as one, where he lives in our hearts. And when we have the Spirit of God that lives in our hearts, then a natural result of that is that we begin to bear fruit of the Spirit. What does the Scripture say that the fruit of the Spirit is? In Galatians it says love, joy, peace. Do you have love in your heart today? Do you have joy? Doesn't mean we're going to live on an emotional high. Do you have joy in the Spirit? Do you have peace that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus loves you and is going to help you through life? Do you have peace? Are you living a life of just constant spiritual turmoil? The Lord has a place for us of peace, the fruit of His Spirit. But we have to pursue. We have a part to play. We have to pursue and open our heart and open ourselves, make ourselves vulnerable before God and let His Holy Spirit live within us. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And as you grow, you will produce more of these fruits. I don't know about you. I think I do know about you. You didn't arrive on day one. The Lord has a journey for us, and He wants to go with us, and He wants to teach us along the way. I want to read this beautiful, wonderful, inspiring passage while we still have just a little bit of time in the third chapter of Ephesians. And it starts at the 14th verse. Open up your hearts to this passage. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's not named after a person. We're not depending on somebody else. We bow our knees before our great God and Father in heaven, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, see it's personal again, grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Inside you. It's something that works in you, within, that changes you, gives you new perspective, gives you spiritual vision. But you have to open the door. You have to let Him in. You have to let Him stay in. You can't leave Him. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. The love of God passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're satisfied with something stagnant, if you're satisfied with just being associated with a certain group of people, if you're just satisfied with the status quo, you are not going to have a power that works within you. But when you give yourself and believe into Jesus, and He becomes the most important thing in your life, that you would see Jesus and have a union with Him, then you have a power that works within you that takes you above and beyond what you ever would have thought possible. Thank the Lord. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Do you want to be a part of this? Count me in. I want to be a part of it. I don't want to miss out on this. So in our day-to-day life, what does this growing relationship involve? Practically speaking, kind of mentioned this already, developing relationship with God is not an instantaneous event. It's a process. As we continue to yield ourselves to His Spirit's working in our lives, it's just like a seed that you plant. That seed has to be given care and time, and it has to be in the right environment. Our spiritual lives are like that too. We've got to be willing to give God time and space. We've got to protect the environment. We've got to be willing to let Him work and mold us with His divine hands, or we're going to miss it. Those who have a personal relationship with Jesus and those that grow, are you growing? Are you growing in your spiritual lives? Are you at the same place you were last year? Are you behind where you were last year? Are you growing? The good news this morning is you can grow. Whatever's happened in the past, Jesus invites us to grow. What does that look like? We involve the Lord in our day-to-day lives every day. He becomes part of who we are. We read His Word. We include Him. We pray to Him. We really pray to Him, as we heard the other night. We don't just say words, but we communicate. We ask for wisdom and guidance. We take our requests before Him in prayer. He becomes the most important thing to us in life. We ask for help in Jesus' name. We read about that in the 15th chapter of John. And we should understand this morning, folks, that having a personal relationship with Jesus that grows in a healthy manner involves deliberate and intentional surrender. You have to give up. You know, we fight our whole lives trying to have our own way and do what we want to do and follow our own path and still be at peace in our hearts with Jesus, and it doesn't work. We have to be willing to surrender our thoughts and our actions and our desires and our will. And when we do that, we will find, in that surrender, we will begin to find the true essence of faith, where it becomes more than just, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that I begin to have a faith that grows, that He cares about me, that He started a work, a good work that He wants to finish. Does it mean we're never going to have trouble? No. I don't read that. There's going to be times of doubt. There's going to be times of challenge. There's going to be times of failure. There's going to be low places. But if we'll allow those things, and if we will make our relationship with Jesus mean more than anything else, then those battles that we face and those disappointments and those hard times and those failures will serve to increase our faith and increase our dependence on Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants to be to us. He wants to be your all in all. He doesn't want you to fear. He wants you to trust. He wants you to believe. He wants you to experience His love. And the beauty of this process is the intimate relationship that begins to develop and mature. And we begin to know God not as a hard taskmaster, and we begin to know God not as the evictor out of our house, and we begin to know God is not the one with the sword raised ready to cut us off at first opportunity, but we begin to know God as a loving shepherd, a faithful father, a Savior that gave His life that we might be saved. What a beautiful plan. I want to be part of it. So much could be said about this. We're out of time. I'd like to end with this. We have many close relationships with many things and people in this life. Don't we? We have relationships with things that we go to great length to make sure that we are not separated from. Things we want to see. Things we want to listen to. Things we want to taste. Not saying that they're all bad, but I am saying that this life has a way of drawing us to things where we develop kind of our own relationship with those things, and we protect that relationship. Do we have that kind of relationship with God, with Jesus? Are we as interested in growing our relationship with the Lord as we are accumulating to ourselves so many of the things that will pass away? Something to consider. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. This morning, for us to be alive and ready, I'm going to have to believe into Jesus and take His way into my life. Humble myself, live humbly. Humble. Recognize my great need of Jesus Christ and repent with godly sorrow and turn away from that which leads to the absence of life. And then I'm going to have to give myself to growing my relationship with Jesus. Lord, God, this morning, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you wash me in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Lord, help me to turn away from that which leads to the absence of life. Lord, help me to embrace your Spirit and have a desire that rises above all other desires in life, that I might know you and see you and live life with you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.